Here we are once again. Now, how many of you guys had breakfast this morning? Most of you, right? And how many of you had some kind of bread product in your breakfast? All right, a lot of us. All right. This morning, we're continuing our series through Jesus' I Am statements. And this morning, we're going to be looking at his statement that he says, I am the bread of life. Now, bread is a very important food. It's one of the most prolific, ubiquitous foods on the face of the earth. Every culture, every place has got some form of bread, it seems. It's a fairly simple thing, but can be made in a thousand different forms and has been made for thousands of years. The bread is, you know, it's rich in carbohydrates, which we need, our bodies need. It contains the energy and the nourishment that we need for the proper functioning of our body. And bread comes in so many wonderful, delicious, scrumptious forms. You know, we get buns, we get, oh, pretzels. Yeah. Nice little collection there of various grains. Oh, there you go. Cinnamon buns, right? That's still a bread, just to be clear. Perfectly acceptable breakfast bread. You know, we get round loaves, you get oval loaves, you can put stuff on it. You've got, I don't know what that is, but it looks really good. And, you know, you get flatbread, actually. That last picture is a little bit washed out, but it's a flatbread, and that's very common in many parts of the world. Bread comes in so many forms. And as you travel around the world, as you experience different cultures, we find that it's just, there's so much rich variety when it comes to bread. And bread is an essential part of life around the world. Bread is a wonderful, wonderful food. Getting kind of hungry. here, and we're going to be looking at John chapter 6 this morning. So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to find that. And in John chapter 6, Jesus makes the statement, saying that I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. So we're going to spend some time this morning just unpacking that statement. What does Jesus mean when he says that he is the bread of life? And so if you found John chapter 6, we're going to be starting at verse 25 this morning, where we read, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. They asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall not lose, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling amongst yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, and yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So that is Jesus calling himself the bread of life. Now, a little bit of background to this chapter as we look through the rest, the prior portion of John chapter 6. We see that in the first section is the very familiar story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. So Jesus is out, he's teaching, and he miraculously turns a small bit of food, a boy's lunch, into food for 5,000. And people are amazed, and they all eat their fill. And after Jesus performed this miracle, he perceived that the people wanted to make him their king. They wanted to take him by force and make him their king, and so he slips away. He withdrew to a mountain by himself. We read in verse 15. And then as we move on into the next portion of chapter 6, the disciples are out on the lake, and Jesus, this is where we see Jesus walking on water, going out and joins his disciples. They get to the other side. And so we have these two very well-known miracles of Jesus, the feeding of the 5,000 and the walking on water, immediately precedes this passage. And so the next day, the crowds get up and they realize that Jesus and his disciples aren't where they had been the night before. And so they go out and they set out on foot to search for him. And when they find him, that's where we get to in verse 25, when they found him. And Jesus takes this conversation and he encourages them to seek the real food that he has to offer, not just simply to fill their bellies. When they come and they ask Jesus, how do we get this bread? They come to him asking for food. And they even go back and they quote, it's a quote from actually from Psalm 78, about how their ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. And so we have to actually jump back even further than just the beginning of the chapter. If we go back to Exodus chapter 16, this is a well-known miracle that the children of Israel enjoyed manna from heaven. And so Exodus 16, and we won't read the chapter, but I encourage you to look back because there's some very important echoes here in John of what happened in Exodus chapter 16. In Exodus 16, the background there is the children of Israel were enslaved in Egypt. And Moses was raised up to lead the people out of Egypt. And he goes to Pharaoh, and that well-known phrase, Pharaoh, let my people go. And he doesn't let them go. And then we have the 10 plagues. And finally, they're released from Egypt. And they go, and God takes them out, leads them out into the wilderness, and they get out in the wilderness, and what do? They're freed from slavery, they're freed from bondage, and what's the first thing they do? Yeah, they complain. Right? I don't know if that's ever happened to you as a parent. You know, we do something for our kids, we get everything ready to go, and, you know, everything's spread out, and, you know, and what's the first thing our kids do? I didn't want that. Grumble. And in Exodus 16, we're told that the children of Israel grumbled at their situation. And so Moses tells them that God is going to provide manna. And they have this incredible, they wake up in the morning and they find this bread that is out and it's sweet like honey. And they're told to go and collect enough for each day, but only enough for the day because it goes rotten the next morning, except on the Sabbath. And this is an incredible miracle, how God provided for his people. And there's an interesting thing about the word manna we see in Exodus chapter 16. See, in Hebrew, just kind of geeking out a little bit on the language, but it's the particle ma is a question mark, and the particle na is an exclamation mark. So a literal translation of manna is like question mark, exclamation mark. It's like this, what is this? The people were so amazed at what this was that it caused both wonder and surprise because it was such an incredible miracle. I mean, I don't know about you, but last night, you know, I woke up this morning and there's these white flakes all over my lawn. They did not taste like honey. They did not sustain us for the day. It was no miracle. But the nation of Israel, as they were wandering in the desert, in the wilderness for 40 years, every morning looked out and the ground was covered in these white flakes that sustained them for the day. And so when we get to John chapter 6 and we see the people coming and listening to Jesus teach, and there are people who are living a life of oppression. They are under foreign rule. They are more or less enslaved by the Roman government of the day. And they have this great teacher that goes up to a mountain and is delivering the word of God. And then he provides them bread out in the wilderness. They're going, we know this story. We know this story. Because this is what Moses did. And Moses led us out of slavery. And so, the people see Jesus, and they go, are you here to take us out of slavery? It's why they wanted to make him king. And Jesus has to correct them, that he's not exactly what they were expecting. But as we'll see, he's exactly what they needed. And so we come to John chapter 6, and the next morning, we're told, verse 30, they ask for a sign. And this really has got to kind of blow your mind. Jesus just fed 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch, and the next morning the people are saying, can you show us a sign? I was reading a book by Chuck Swindoll, a well-known pastor from California, and he's writing about asking for signs. And he says he ministered much of his career in Los Angeles. And, of course, Los Angeles is well-known for its traffic. I've only had the unique experience of sitting in L.A. traffic once, and I don't know how people do it. But he talks about this one time when he was sitting on a freeway and they're building a new freeway. And he's like, as you're sitting there in gridlock, it's got to be awfully tempting to just go across the little dirt median onto this newly constructed empty highway. As one day he's driving with a friend, and his friend is driving, and they're in this spot, and his friend says, hey, watch this. And his friend goes. The median jumps up onto this closed highway. It was under construction, and he said there was signs everywhere. Road closed, construction, don't go this way. And he said his friend just got on this empty road and just pinned it, and they just went screaming down the highway. And he said as it kept going, he said he almost forgot how hard he was holding on to the door handle, the fear of where they were going. All of a sudden, his friend slams on the brake and comes screeching to a halt right at the edge of an unfinished overpass. And they get out of the car, and his friend goes and he says, "Do you see that debris over there? That's where a car drove off last night. You see the debris over there? That's where another car went off the day before." And he said, there was signs and barriers everywhere. But there was still people that wanted to get to where they were going faster and ignored every sign that they saw. That's kind of what it feels like that these people in John chapter 6 are doing. They're saying, just show us a sign. Just show us a sign and we'll believe. And yet, they have seen an incredible sign. And Jesus is getting to the heart of his message here, and he's saying, I'm the bread of life. See, these people are following Jesus because they got a free meal. And Jesus is pointing out to them that, you know, you have a much deeper need than a meal, than a physical meal. See, it's just like those people driving down the highway. They had a much deeper need than getting to their destination on time. They had a need to live and blew through every single sign that would point them away from danger. And so Jesus is coming here and he's saying, I am the bread of life. If you come to me, you will never hunger. Jesus says, whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So Jesus alone comes to satisfy our spiritual hunger and our spiritual thirst. Jesus says, to satisfy that spiritual hunger, there's two things that we need to do. We need to come to him and we need to believe in him. He says, it is my Father's will that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For those who are followers of Christ, we must come to him. And we don't just come to him once. We come daily. Come daily for spiritual nourishment, for spiritual encouragement. There are many, many things that will draw us away. There's many things in our culture that seek to pull us away from Jesus, to seek to entice us, to seek after other things. Whether that be just needing to get somewhere on time and not wanting to sit in traffic. Whether that be listening to the other voices in our culture, the noise that's around us. Last week we looked at Jesus' statement that he is the good shepherd and that the sheep know his voice. We looked at how important it is to know the voice of our Savior, to know truth, because there is untruth and half-truth speaking and yelling at us from every direction. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the sustenance. I am the one. If you come to me, you will never hunger. Jesus alone satisfies our spiritual hunger. We must not nibble upon the things of the world and the cheap substitutes that the world tries to offer. One of the incredible things about bread, I said there's so many different forms of bread. And it's amazing. And I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, we didn't eat a lot of variety of bread. We ate the stuff that was on sale at the superstore, supermarket, wherever, right? And I remember it was white bread. Good old, solid, cheap white bread. We didn't eat Wonder Bread, because I think my mom knew that that was beyond any nutritional value. But we were like one notch up from Wonder Bread. And when I went to college, I lived with a family my first year of university. And the thing that Janice, the mother of the house, did is that there was a bakery nearby, and she always went and got the day-old stuff. And I had never experienced so many kinds of bread as I did that first year of university. I learned that there's this thing called rye, and there's sourdough, and there's, you know, that's where I learned bread comes in all different shapes and sizes. And there's incredibly high-quality bread out there. And when you've had good, real bread, it's really hard to go back to Wonder Bread, isn't it? It becomes that cheap substitute. I realize that, and now Dana is very good at feeding our family well, and we only eat like actually good quality bread. And I've learned now that, you know, whereas for years growing up, I could be sustained on two pieces of white toast for the morning, that it just doesn't fuel you for the day anymore. So too, Jesus is saying, come to me, because he is the real deal. Our culture is offering us a cheap substitute, a Wonder Bread option to try and get us through the day. And Jesus comes and he is the real deal, the high quality bread that sustains. When we come to Jesus, it's a hard thing. And as we look further on in this passage, we won't go through the rest of chapter 6, but there's what Jesus says causes great controversy. And people are upset. And people leave. Because what Jesus is teaching is hard. And it would seem that much of that crowd was there simply because they got a meal. One of the things that we have to continually wrestle with is whether we come to Jesus just when we're in search of a meal, when we're just in search of a meal ticket, just when we need something. Jesus says that he is the bread of life. And of course, when we look at, you know, the Lord's Prayer, one of those things is, you know, give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need for today. And it's a reminder that we need to come to Jesus every single day. We need to get to know him better and deeper. Psalm 34, verse 8, is a well-known verse. It says, come, taste and see that the Lord is good. And it's a psalm about knowing God, about engaging with him. So if we believe that Jesus is the bread of life, we take that statement seriously. We have to remember that it's a daily thing. You know, when we think about eating physical food, most of us eat about, you know, 3 times a day, 7 days a week. You know, it's 21, maybe we have some extra meals in there, 23, 24, 25 meals a day. Okay, Some of us, you know, some of their second breakfast. Sometimes you end up with like back-to-back lunch meetings. But we eat when we're hungry, right? And we are fortunate enough to live in a time and a place where very few of us have to struggle with ongoing persistent hunger. But we eat when we're hungry. So too, we need to come to Christ to feed ourselves spiritually on a regular basis. Jesus is the bread of life. When we don't spend time with God, we don't really get to know Him. It's like we said with last week when we were looking at Jesus being our good shepherd, we have to spend time with the shepherd to know His voice. So too, we have to spend time in God's Word to know who He is, to find that spiritual fulfillment. If you aren't spending time with God, you don't really know who He is. If you don't spend time in His Word, if we don't spend time in prayer, if we don't spend time with other believers talking about who God is and what He's done in our lives, it's like you don't know what real bread is. Many people still today, just like 2,000 years ago in John chapter 6, many people are just looking for a meal ticket. Many people are just looking for a sign, searching for a sign, but not spending the time to get to know who Jesus is. So how do we do it? How do we get to know Jesus? Just like we have to eat every day, we need to know Jesus every day. And there's some very simple things that we can do. If reading God's Word is not a habit that you're in, I encourage you to start, and start small. You spend some time, even if you just read one psalm a day, take time to get to know Him. The Psalms are an incredible expression of who God is and what it means to know Him. Engaging emotionally through poetry. Or just the next book over, the book of Proverbs. Read a proverb a day. Chapter of Proverbs a day. One of the great things about Proverbs is that it's 31 chapters. And so there's one chapter for every day of the month. As I mentioned, we've got our 7-mile story. Ross Breichreitz will be coming here in just a couple of weeks. And what excites me about this is that for me, in my own spiritual journey, it was when someone started to connect these dots for me of how the whole Bible fit together that I really got excited about God's Word. When I started to see that you can see God working from beginning to end in one continuous story. That God has divinely written from beginning to end. When I started to have those pieces put together for me, it made me hungry. It made me hungry for more. Because it was like that movement from Wonder Bread to rye to sourdough to all the richness and variety. When I started to see that God's Word, I just started to see it in a wonderful new way. And finally, we put in a plug for our next Life Together. In May, we're going to be walking through a new series to try and help us to see that big picture. And the next series in May, it's called Binge Reading the Bible. And I don't know about you, you don't have to admit to this, but I know some of you have binge-watched entire TV series on Netflix. And so in the month of May, we're gonna walk through the Old Testament in 4 weeks. And it's going to be a really high-level view because you can only do so much in 4 weeks. But the goal of this is to help us to see those big pictures, to help us to see how God has woven His Word together, to help us to taste and see God's Word, to taste and see that He is good, to taste and see the bread of life, to see how the Old Testament points us to Christ. I encourage you to please come Sundays and Wednesdays as we go through that. I encourage you to come hear the 7 Mile story. I encourage you to pick up your Bible today. Whether you've done it recently or you haven't picked up a Bible for longer than you care to admit, I encourage you to pick it up, to look into God's Word, and to taste the bread of life. And if you're at a place in your life where you have not tasted the bread of life, where you have not encountered Jesus, I encourage you to take that seriously today. Talk to me, talk to someone else about what it means to truly know who Jesus Christ is, to truly know that He has paid the penalty for our sins, and that as He says even in John chapter 9, those who know Him will be raised up in the final day. There is nothing in this world or in our culture that can provide a substitute that even comes close to that truth. To the truth of what Christ has done for each and every one of us, and that is free, freely offered. And so, as you go this week, it is my prayer that you would truly experience the bread of life, that you would come to Jesus, seek Him for your sustenance, that you would seek Him for your hunger, for your thirst, that you would know Him more as you seek His face.